Our speaker this morning is our choir director, our own John McFadden. John started here at Main Street on July the 1st. Well, that happened to be my first Sunday to serve as lay leader from the pulpit, and his first Sunday as choir director. Now I'm back, and he has another first, his first Sunday to preach here. I bet you didn't know he could preach. Well, what led him to this path? John grew up in Greer. His dad was a full-time Southern Baptist minister of music from 1949 to 1987, and he continued to lead on a part-time or interim basis until 2014 when he was 88 years old. So John is following in his footsteps. John graduated from Greer High School, Anderson University, and East Texas Baptist University. He received a master's degree in church music from the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. He met his wife, Debbie, while they were both on a summer mission team in the Northwest United States in the summer of 1977. She was a student at Texas A&M University at the time. They got married in 1979. Debbie is a computer programmer who works from her home in the pharmaceutical industry. John and Debbie have two children and four grandchildren. John has served churches in Alabama and Texas. He was on the staff of Northside Baptist here in Greenwood for 15 years. They have lived in Greenwood since 2000. John, you've proven you can direct the choir. Now let's see if you can preach.
Why, thank you, Marilyn. I'll have to see what I can do there. What an introduction. But that's okay. If you were listening to Marilyn's introduction, there was one word that you heard scattered through there several times, and that's Baptist. I was raised by a Baptist minister. All of my experience serving churches until I came to Main Street was in Baptist churches. Now, Pastor Phil told me that I could use humor. We'll see how that goes in just a minute. But I thought it would be good, as I began our time together this morning, by giving a brief report. And I have entitled this report, Things That I Have Learned as a Baptist Coming to Main Street United Methodist Church. It's okay to laugh during this part of the service. Number one, and this is number one because it was really the first thing, before I actually started the job, I learned this, and that is this. The hanging of the greens is extremely important here at Main Street United Methodist Church. I think I accepted the position, I accepted the job, and I was talking, I've forgotten who was in that conversation, but they said, look, we're just so happy and excited to have you at Main Street United Methodist Church, and I said, well, I'm happy to be here. And then all of a sudden, all of the lights in the room went out, and six people came in, whom I don't know, and they stood really close to me, and somebody shined one of those really bright spotlights on me, like they do when they're interrogating somebody in one of the old cop shows. Are y'all with me? I said, are y'all with me? Okay, y'all are with me now. And then they said, now listen, John, the hanging of the greens is really important, and it's a real serious thing, and it's going to be very bad if you mess that up. Now, we don't want to put any pressure on you, but you better do a good job with the hanging of the greens. And I said, well, can I have a key to my office so I can start working on it? The second thing that I learned is related to the first thing, and that is this. It does not do any good to ask if you can move the first Sunday of Advent back a couple of weeks. In fact, people look at you real strange if you even ask that question. The third thing that I learned is that the SPRC really has nothing to do with preventing cruelty to animals. I thought that was better than that, y'all. I'll tell you. I referred to this one a few weeks ago, but the charge conference has nothing to do with investment and financial planning. I learned this. If you hear someone say, "The Lord be with you," it's best to pay attention because something else is coming real quickly. Number six, and I hope this is not a surprise to any of you, but Methodists eat at least as much, if not more, than Baptists. I hope that's not a surprise to you. And number seven, Lent has nothing to do with what collects in that little filter in my dryer. And so those are just a few of the things that I have learned since I have come to Main Street United Methodist Church. The passage that I want to talk to you about this morning is from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. It's verses 38 through 42. I'm going to read it in just a second, but I think I was drawn to this particular passage for a couple of reasons. First, one thing that I have learned about Lent is that it's a time of examination that leads to a celebration at Easter. And in this passage, Jesus asked Martha to examine her motives and really her heart. And the second reason I think I was drawn to this particular passage of Scripture is that I have a pet peeve that I'm going to share with y'all right now. It's one of my pet peeves that when we read the Bible and when we read about people in the Bible, we don't think of them as being like us, really. We think because they're in the Bible that they have things a little bit more together. They're not quite as flawed as we are. And that's a pet peeve of mine because I believe that the people who are talked about in Scripture are just like you and me. They have the same problems. They have flaws. We're going to see that a little bit this morning. And I believe that Martha and Mary had real desires. They had a little bit of conflict between them. And an episode like this one is something that could have happened in any household, in any time period, anywhere in the world. So I believe that anybody who has siblings, or really anybody who has ever lived with someone in a household, can identify with this story. And there's one other thing that I want to mention before I read the passage to you. Immediately before this passage in the Gospel of Luke, we find the story of the Good Samaritan. And one thing that I learned as I was reading different things that different scholars had written is that often in the Gospel of Luke, you learn a little bit about how to apply the truth or how to interpret a particular passage by what is in close proximity to it in the Scripture. That was a new thought to me. So I'm going to mention that now and come back to it in a few minutes. Let me read the passage for us. Luke 10, 38 through 42. "Now as they went on their way, he, Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Now we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to sort of pull this story apart a little bit. We're going to talk about the people in this story And then we're going to put it back together to see what the Lord has to say to each one of us through this episode. You kind of get the setup real quickly. Jesus, as he was traveling, probably with the disciples, entered a village, and Martha received him into her house. I'm going to take it just a little bit out of order because the first person that I want to talk about is Mary. Let's ask what Mary did in this section of Scripture. Well, we're told that she was doing one thing. She sat at the feet of Jesus. It's kind of interesting. Mary, this Mary, is mentioned three times in Scripture. In this passage, one time in John 11, when she fell at Jesus' feet and she shared her woe. And then in John 12, which is the passage that Susan was referring to just a minute ago, she fell at Jesus' feet and poured out her worship on him. Well, let's talk about Mary's choice. What choice did she make? Well, she apparently helped Martha for a while. We'll kind of see that when we look at what Martha said. But then she chose to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his teaching. And I don't know how it happened. Maybe Mary was in the kitchen with Martha as they were fixing things, and she took the chips and the dip into the dining room, and instead of going back into the kitchen to help Martha, she sat down to listen to Jesus as he taught about the kingdom of God. And I think that she was drawn to Jesus and to his teaching. Maybe she had heard some of the things that Jesus had taught, things that we know that he said. For example, in Matthew 6, Jesus said, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Maybe Mary heard Jesus say that. She was encouraged. She was lifted up by those words. And she was interested in hearing Jesus teach more about the kingdom of God. Well, what choices could she have made? Let's explore some possibilities here for a minute, shall we? She could have gone back in the kitchen and helped Martha, right? Nod your head this way if you're with me. Yes, thank you for playing along. She could have gone back into the kitchen to help Martha. She could have encouraged Jesus and his disciples to help Martha. Now here was Jesus, 12 guys with him. They're sitting there listening. Mary could have said, "Hey, guys, let's get together. Martha needs some help in here. Let's go in here and help her." Well, she didn't do that. She could have invited Martha to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his teaching. She could have done that, but she didn't. Now, she may have had an inkling while she was listening to Jesus that, you know, Martha may be a little uncomfortable. She may not like me sitting here with Mary, with Jesus, listening to his teaching. She could have chosen just to leave rather than face the confrontation that she might have thought was coming. Well, let's ask ourselves, what happened because of her choices? Well, we know a couple of things. Martha got upset, but Jesus taught a great lesson. From the choices that Mary made, what can we discover? What can we say? What can we conclude about her character? Well, we know a couple of things. She loved Jesus, and she loved his teaching. So that's Mary. Let's talk about Martha. You remember when she came out, this is what she said. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." So let's ask ourselves, what's Martha thinking? What's going on with Martha? Well, she was worried about being a good hostess. She was worried about making sure that everything was done. She was worried about doing her duty in showing hospitality. She was worried about her reputation, maybe. She didn't want anybody to be able to leave her house and say, well, you know, I visited Martha's house, and she didn't offer me a graham cracker to eat. She was concerned about her reputation, possibly. And she was worried about Mary and what Mary was doing. Well, let's talk about Martha's choices. What choices did she make? Well, she chose to busy herself in preparation for serving her guest. Now, it would be real easy for us, I think, to come down kind of hard on Mary. But I don't think we can do that, because I believe that Martha was operating out of the way that she was wired. I believe that Martha was the older of the two sisters. Do we have any older sisters here this morning? I see a couple of hands. Do we have any younger sisters here this morning? Yeah, I see some hands, and the younger sisters are going, Yeah. She was wired that way. She was the responsible one. She was the one that took care of things. She wanted to provide a good experience for her guest, but she paid a price for it, didn't she? She got frustrated with Mary. She expressed her frustration to Jesus, and it's possible that she felt frustration with herself. Emily and I were talking about this story the other day, and Emily brought up a good point. She said, well, maybe Martha was sort of irritated within herself at herself, because she was doing what she believed was the right thing to do, and yet she knew Mary was spending time with Jesus, and maybe she felt a little bit left out. And that's a possibility. There were all kinds of things that were going on within Mary. Another thing that she did, she chose to express her frustration with Mary to Jesus in a very public way. She almost ordered Jesus to command Mary to help her. Now let's stop and think for just a second right there. I don't believe that Martha or Mary or the disciples completely understood who Jesus was at that particular point in His ministry. I don't think they completely understood until after the resurrection. But think about how unusual, how crazy, maybe, for Martha to walk out and practically wag her finger in the face of God in the flesh. Because that's what she was doing. She was upset, and she went out and she told Jesus exactly what she thought about it. And she was doing that to God in the flesh. Well, let's think about the choices. She had some other choices that she could have made, didn't she? She could have chosen to spend time with Jesus herself. She didn't need to wait for anybody to give her an invitation or someone to go and get her. She could have come out, sat down beside Mary, and listened to Jesus teach. She could have provided a bit more simple meal. Lee was in the 8:30 service and heard me talking about this, and she said she thought Martha may have been the Martha Stewart of her day. She was in there preparing this elaborate meal, and she missed some time with Jesus because of that. Maybe that's true. She could have asked Mary or even Jesus and the disciples for help. Or she could have stomped out in anger. She got so mad. Or she could have swallowed her frustration and dealt with Mary after Jesus left. Now, let's think about this. They're there. Martha comes out, and she basically tells Jesus exactly what she wants Him to tell Mary, to get in the kitchen and help her. What happened because of her choices and her actions? Well, her frustration and her anger caused her to explode at Jesus and Mary. She embarrassed everyone except Jesus. Have you ever been in a public setting, maybe a family get together, and people start talking, and there are some differences of opinion, and all of a sudden somebody says something real loudly and real angrily? What happens? The whole room gets quiet, doesn't it? Nobody knows exactly what to say now. People sort of emotionally step back a little bit. And that's possibly what happened on this occasion. And everybody sort of took that attitude possibly except Jesus. Before we talk about exactly what Jesus said, let's see what we can conclude about Martha. Martha was responsible and strong-willed. This is probably not the first time she got crossways with her sister. Martha was a person of action. When something was not right, she was going to do something about it. And she did not mind expressing her opinion. Okay, we've talked about Mary, and we've talked about Martha. Let's talk about Jesus' response. Here they are in this public setting. Martha comes out and explodes. Everybody's kind of standing there. And Jesus looks at her and he says, "Martha, Martha." You know, if somebody calls your name twice, they're making sure that they have your attention. And sometimes when they do that, it's kind of an angry statement. They're expressing anger with what you're doing. I don't think that's what Jesus expressed with Martha. I think he was pleading with Martha a little bit. He wanted her to get the message that he had for her. And he said, "Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." We had a whole list of them a couple of minutes ago, didn't we? She was worried about everybody being served, worried about showing hospitality, maybe worried a little bit about her reputation. She was worried about a lot of things. But then Jesus said, "One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it's not going to be taken away from her." Well, what did Jesus mean by that? What was he saying about that? Well, remember I mentioned a little while ago the story of the Good Samaritan and how that's set in such close proximity to this story. Well, if the story of the Good Samaritan was about loving our neighbor, then I believe that Jesus was making a statement here about loving God and loving His kingdom. But the lesson that He was trying to teach is not that there's anything wrong with service. We should all seek to serve. That's part of the Christian life. But it's best when our service flows out of our worship. It's best when it flows out of the overflow, if you will, of our heart's relationship with Christ. We've kidded around an awful lot about me and my Baptist background and my Baptist experience. Let me tell you, I was tickled this week when I found that one of the scholars had quoted a hymn by Charles Wesley, who made a wonderful point along these lines. Charles Wesley, the title of the hymn is, "Lo, I Come with Joy to Do the Master's Blessed Will." And in that hymn, there's a stanza that says, "Faithful to my Lord's commands, I still would choose the better part. Serve with careful Martha's hands and loving Mary's heart." It's not an either-or proposition. It's a both-and proposition. Our service and our worship life, our service and our devotional life go hand in hand, and our service should flow out of our daily lives. And then one other point to make. The kingdom of God should take priority over other concerns. It has to be the basis, the foundation from which our lives operate. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Now that doesn't mean that we don't have to work. That doesn't mean that we don't have to take care of things in life. We know that we do. But what that teaches is we start with our relationship with God. We start with Christ. And everything that we do flows out of that relationship. So in conclusion, let me ask you a couple of very simple questions. What are you seeking first? What's the first priority in your life? On the back of your bulletin, Pastor Phil wrote a prayer for devotion. Lord Jesus Christ, my heart is a wanderer and soon turns away from You. I surrender my scattered life into Your care and healing. Let's take just a moment and reflect on that thought and perhaps pray that prayer yourself where you are. Now let's sing together a hymn of devotion. Number 453, More Love to Thee, O Christ.